What I'd like to talk a little bit about today is music. One of the important things in our Sabbath service every week is singing of hymns. We always begin our service by singing three hymns. Then we'll have a hymn after the sermonette or the split sermon. Then we'll do announcements. We'll have another hymn. And we always end our service with singing our praises to God. So it is an important part of our service. The question I have is, can hymns play a larger role in our lives and perhaps the lives of others? I would like to spend what I have today, the time that I have today, looking at how music can be utilized for several different ways. Number one, how can it be utilized to worship God? We practiced that during the song service today. How can it be used to maybe relieve our fears, maybe reduce our anxieties? Maybe it helps us remember the scriptures. And maybe it helps us provide a light to the world. One of the Bob Marley, some of you may know him as a reggae singer. We spent some time in Jamaica for the feast, and Bob Marley was from an area where we visited in the feast. And he has some good music, some not so good music. Some probably not appropriate for us to be listening to, and maybe some of the themes of his music may not always be appropriate. But he had this quote that I thought was very interesting. He said, "One good thing about music is when it hits you, you feel no pain." I thought that was kind of interesting. When music hits you, you feel no pain. There's a lot of research on music, just like there's research on anything you could possibly imagine. But some of the recent research on music shows that listening to music improves our overall mental health and well-being. It has been shown to maybe boost our physical health in surprising and astonishing ways. It says if we take a music lesson or two, that musical training can help raise our IQs. It can even help us stay sharp in old age. There's a lot of this particular research article had, I think, 15 or 20 different benefits of music and musical training. And some of that is IQ, doing better in school, and just overall being happy. So the first point is music makes you happier. Music makes you happier. I had the opportunity to, or opportunity, I was kind of forced to do it. We were short subs again in the school on Thursday. And one of the classes that was short was band. So my assistant principal and I, we always rock, paper, scissor it, and I lost. I had to go conduct the band. Well, there's two bands. We have our concert band, which is, they're a pretty high-level band for middle school. They've won all kinds of awards across the state. And then we have our lower-level bands. Well, I got the lower-level band. And it was fine. But the one thing I noticed is the students were playing. Probably they were happy because I didn't have a clue what I was doing. They were probably laughing at me. But they were clearly happy playing their instruments. Clearly happy making music. Even though their beat was off, their timing was off, and we did some things to try to get them back on track, they were having fun. They were happy in that band room. One of the things that we talked about at a meeting this week was the possibility of playing some music over the PA system each morning, to try to set that mood for the students to, you know, come in and have that happy mood, and it does improve performance in school. So that's one of the things that we're starting to look at. Another musician, William James, no idea who it is, but I like this quote. He says, "I don't sing because I'm happy. I'm happy because I sing." And as I look out and watch people as they're singing at the beginning of services, you don't see any frowns. You don't see people, all right, we take our songbook out, we got the frown on our face, oh, we're singing this one again. You don't see that. You see people tapping their feet. You see them smiling. But people are happy when we are singing. Research shows that when you listen to music, your brain releases a chemical called dopamine. Dopamine is what they call the feel-good neurotransmitter. And one of the things that a neuroscientist from McGill University did was they injected people with this radioactive substance. And what this substance does is it binds to that neurotransmitter, dopamine. And they would play music. And when they played that music, they found that there was a big increase in dopamine in the brain. And what does that do? It makes you feel better. Music also helps us to lower stress and improves our health. Billy Joel said this. He said, "I think music in itself is healing. It's an explosive expression of humanity. It's something we all are touched by, no matter what culture we're from." Listening to music decreases levels of stress hormone in the body, cortisol. Again, another research can show that. When people listen to music, this particular stress hormone does decrease in the body. Why is this important? More research. This is important finding since stress causes, according to this particular study, 60% of all the illnesses and diseases that we experience. Talk to any college student this time of year. They're all sick. Why are they sick? Final exams are coming up. Lori's shaking her head because she's teaching students right now and her finals are coming up. Seems like every year in college I would get sick right before the semester break because you're stressed. You're stressed. One of the other things that music can do is helps reduce depression. Paula Cole said this about music. "For me, music is a vehicle to bring our pain to the surface, getting it back to a humble and tender spot where, with luck, it can lose its anger and become compassion again." More than 350 million people in our country suffer from depression. Not in our country, around the world. More than 350 million people around the world suffer from depression. A German researcher found that music can benefit patients with depressive symptoms depending on the type of music that we listen to. We know that there's many, many different types of music out there. Classical music tended to lift people up, made them feel happier, relaxed. Music like heavy metal, never a big fan of that, brings you down. You listen to some of the banging and the noise in that heavy metal and even the words, it's not a pleasant message. So that tends to depress people even further. Jody Picoult, again, not sure who this is, but I like the quote. It says, "Music is the language of memory." Music is the language of memory. Researchers discovered that music can help you learn and recall information better. But it depends on how much you like the music and whether you are the musician or not. If you enjoy the music you are listening to, it increases listening and memory. And they said that musicians tended to have better recall than non-musicians. Then the last point is music raises IQ and academic performance. Bono said this, "Music can change the world because it can change people." And think about that. Going back to the beginning of Sabbath services again, if you come in maybe in a grouchy mood, after those first couple of hymns, your total attitude and behavior changes. You can't help but be happy and filled with joy when you listen to good music. Research shows that taking music lessons predicts higher academic performance and IQ in young children. In one study, 6-year-olds took keyboarding and singing lessons in small groups for 36 weeks. At the end of that, they showed that their IQ and standardized test scores were dramatically increased. And we do. We see that in schools, that students that tend to be part of the music programs, their grades do tend to be better. Now, is that the only reason that their grades are better because of the music? No, there's other factors, but music does play a part in our abilities to learn and to remember things. So, brother, how do we judge right and wrong in any area of life? We talked about good music and bad music. So how do we judge right from wrong in any area of life? Well, we know that we use God's law as our standard. Now, we can read through the Ten Commandments in the entire Bible. But as you read through, do you read anywhere where it says you listen to this type of music, but not that type of music? It doesn't spell it out. But there are guidelines. There are guidelines. We are to base the music that we listen to on the principles that we read in God's laws. One way of identifying godly music is by its fruit. Mr. Kester talked about fruit in his split sermon. So after reviewing the scriptures on the subject of music, it becomes evident that the emphasis is on the purpose of the music. It's on the purpose of the music rather than the type of music that we listen to. See, biblical music emphasizes praise and thanksgiving. It expresses joy as we worship God. It inspires us and it edifies people. When considering any type of music, we should ask, how does this music affect us? How does it affect us? Does it have a beneficial respect, or does it influence positively, or does it harm us? Does it have a positive or a negative effect? When you're listening to it, do you notice that I'm getting happier, or you know what, this is just putting me in a worse mood? And there's music out there that will do both. Does it excite in some way that is wrong or produce feelings that are inappropriate? There's some pretty violent music out there. And we see that when students or people in general listen to that violent music, you see the behaviors manifested in listening to that music. We know that music is found in every culture. Past, present, there's going to be music in the future. Music is part of human history. Since all of the people in the world, including the most isolated tribal groups, they have some form of music. And that's part of the joy of music, is there's different types of music, and that music is developed based upon experiences, based upon where you may have lived. You have your bluegrass music from maybe the hills of the Appalachian Mountains. You have your southern music. You have your reggae music from Jamaica with Bob Marley. So there is different types of music. We've had music for thousands and thousands of years. We can read about music being used in the Bible. A culture's music is influenced by many, many things. What's going on socially at the time? What's going on economically, maybe with the country? What's going on in your life at the time? We watched a thing on James Taylor, one of the musicians I enjoy listening to. He's a very good guitar player, but his vocals are really what kind of draws me to his music, just the crisp, clear voice that he has. And they were interviewing him in between the songs that they played, and he had a pretty tough life growing up. And when you listen to his music, it tells the story of his life. He had some trouble with drugs. He had trouble with family. And if you listen to some of his music, it kind of talks about those stories. But in listening to his interview, it was the music and the playing of the music that really healed him. He was supposed to have gone to college. His family set aside some money for college. He spent all of his college tuition in a psychiatric center. So he never did go to college. And it was through his music that he said, once the money ran out, I think it was like 10 months, he said that the money ran out. And then he didn't know what to do. So he started playing his music. And it was through his songs that kind of developed that therapy for him. And he turned some of that sadness and depression and anxiety into joy. So music does have that ability. As I said, our society is filled with so many different types of music. We have the heavy metal, not for me. We have rock, a lot of good rock music. We have jazz, we have reggae, we have the blues. We have our Christian rock, we have techno, classical. I mean, you could go on and on and on for several minutes of the different types of music that we have. But brethren, music is a very important part of our lives. Very few people, when they're driving, don't ever listen to music. At some point, you're in the car, you're driving, you listen to music. It passes the time. It makes that trip a little bit more enjoyable. From joy and celebration to sadness and mourning, music is part of the emotional experiences that we have. And as I said, at the beginning of each Sabbath service, we start with three hymns. Why do we do that? Why do we sing after announcements? Why do we close our service with song? See, music in the church has a very, very important purpose. It's for inspiration. It's for encouragement. It's also for instruction. However, the central purpose of music in our church service is to give thanks and praise to God. That's why we sing. We sing our praises to God. On the cover of your hymnal, Psalm 68:4. First scripture, you don't even need to turn there because it's all over this wet hymnal that's got my water all over it. Psalm 68:4, what does it say? It says, sing to God, sing praises to his name. And brethren, that's what we do at the beginning of each service. If our goal is to worship and praise the great God of the universe every time we come together on a Sabbath service or a holy day, then our music must be filtered through this foundational principle. We got to ask, is our music truly worshipful? Is it truly praiseworthy? And does it assist us in praising God? Now, when we sing hymns during services, it is for the purpose of worship. It is for the purpose of praising God. It's not just for entertainment. Well, does that mean we can't be entertained by music? No, absolutely not. Music is entertaining. It does make us feel good. There's certain songs in the hymnal that we like better than others. I always like to look at Mr. Wheaton when he sings, what is it? I can't think of the one you like now, but I try to pick that when I'm up here because I love watching him when we sing that hymn. He's tapping his feet. He's smiling. He's into it. It makes you feel good. Now, some of the other songs or hymns we may not like as much, but does it still not make us happy? It does. But we all have our favorites. We all have our favorites. So music can be entertaining, but that's not the overall purpose here. In the world, it's different. So I try to think about this point that the purpose of singing is to praise and worship God. When we sing some of this, there's some songs in the hymnal that I don't care for. I don't like the way they move. They're too slow, or it's not necessarily the words, but you know, kind of the way the music is put together. I don't like them all. I like some better than others. But again, is that the purpose? If we don't like maybe the tune, can we get something out of the words that's in that hymn? So again, each section of our church service has specific purposes. We sometimes tend to focus on the messages, the sermonette, the sermon, the split sermons, is the only place where we can learn during a service. But that's not the case. If we truly take time to look at the words that are in the hymns, there's a lot of learning in those songs. They're all scriptural. They come from the Bible. So everything that we do during service should work to glorify and to praise God. The song service is no different. The song service is no different. Although we all do not have the choir voices, we don't all necessarily have that voice that's going to win those different competitions on TV, American Idol, The Voice, whatever. That's not the purpose. God is happy when we sing. So should our lack of pitch or our lack of tone, our ability to harmonize maybe with the person sitting next to us, should that take away from the meaning of our singing? If we don't have the best voice, should we let down because we don't want the person in front of us to hear us singing? No. No, we shouldn't. Hebrews 2, verse 12. Hebrews 2, verse 12 instructs us that we are to sing out. It says, I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation. I will sing your praises. We don't just sing praises in the shower or in the car when there's nobody else there. We sing praises in the congregation. That's what it tells us in Hebrews 2:12. In the presence of the congregation, that's us, I will sing your praises. Brethren, God does want us to sing together. And through our songs and our hymns, we do praise God. So if we are singing from our hymnals, we can be confident that the music is going to praise God, that it's going to edify God, that it'll glorify Him, that the content of that is going to be appropriate. A lot of the hymns come from the Psalms. You'll see that when you read the scriptures at the top of the hymn. However, the songs we may sing outside of church, that might be a different story. Might be a different story. If you listen to the radio, there's many songs that are not appropriate for us to be listening to. It's the first thing I said when they brought to me, we want to play music between periods. First thing goes through my head, what are they going to be playing? What's that first parent phone call going to be? Because one of the songs slipped up and there's inappropriate language or inappropriate content. So I said, I'm not against it, but we got to look at this music. What are we playing? What are we getting our students to tap their feet to? You get that song in the morning sometimes that sticks in your head all day. What song do we want stuck in our head? During the band, one of the things they did for a warm-up was I'm a Little Teapot. All day long, I had that song stuck in my head. I'm a Little Teapot, short and stout. They were playing the music to that. Rather not have that one stuck in my head all day, but it's one of the things that they were playing, so it's stuck. Maybe we start our day by, you know, maybe humming along to a hymn from our hymnal. Maybe that's something we want stuck in our head each day. In 1 John 2:15, 1 John 2:15. Here it reminds us that we are part of the world, nothing wrong with that. But we got to be careful what we listen to. If we're talking about music, what do we listen to as part of the world? What do we listen to on the radio? This time of year, we hear lots of Christmas music. You got to constantly change that station. And again, that music, it's pleasant to the ear. There's no doubt about it. But is that the music we should fill our minds with? In 1 John 2:15, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So one of those things that God may be talking about there is the music. Music's part of the world. It's everywhere. It's a pleasant part of the world. We just need to be careful. Music can be helpful or it can be hurtful. Music is catchy. We oftentimes catch ourselves singing. You think Satan may use that to his advantage? He wants things in our minds. So if I can get that song on the radio that is full of things that are not appropriate, things that are contrary to God's way, if I can get people to listen to that, if I'm Satan, man, you got it made. You're going to draw their attention away from godly things and onto the things of this world. This time of year, we have jingle bells. Frosty the Snowman. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. All those songs are on. They're fun songs. Most of you know I grew up Catholic. I didn't grow up in the church. And this time of year, I'd be listening to my Christmas songs. And I may have shared this story before, but specifically on this day, I'd be listening to songs and selling Christmas trees. That's what I did. Listening to Christmas music and selling Christmas trees. My buddy was Seventh-day Adventist, so they wouldn't work on the Sabbath. They couldn't make any money. But they didn't want to close the shop, so I would go work for them, and I'd make all the profits and sell the Christmas trees. Come a long way since those days. No Christmas tree in my house or Christmas music playing. So, you know, it's easy to get sucked up into those type of things, though. It's pleasant to the ear. We know that when we sing, we remember things so much better. What do commercials do? They have a jingle. The best commercials have that little jingle, and you remember those things. The stuff on the radio, you remember it. Mason's got that memory for song. He'll listen to a song on the radio one time, maybe twice, and he's got it. He's singing. Pretty much any song that comes on the radio, he's singing in the back seat. Jackson, he won't be caught dead singing. That's not him. He's not joyful when he's singing. We're going to change that, though. Guitar, different story. He enjoys the guitar. But Mason, he's got the songs. It sticks in his mind. So again, there's a stark difference between the music we listen to here and the music that we listen to outside. Now, are we expected to always be singing, "Blessed and happy is the man," or "I will praise thee, O eternal, the Lord's my shepherd," joyfully singing, "Praise God"? You could go on and on from the songs from our hymnal. Now, are we expected to sing those all the time? No, not at all. Not at all. However, is it a bad idea to maybe keep some of those songs in the back of our mind as we go throughout our days? Can they come in handy? When the day gets long, you become anxious or fearful about something. Maybe you're getting depressed over something that's going on at work. Maybe singing those tunes in the back of your head might make some differences. Psalm 34:14. So we mentioned there's a lot of evil in the world. This is the inspiration for the hymn in our songbook, "Turn Thou from Evil." Turn Thou from Evil. And the message in that song, taken from Psalm 34:14, is depart from evil and do good. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Brother, one of the ways that we can seek peace and pursue it is through the music that we listen to. One of the ways that we can depart from evil is departing from some of that inappropriate music that we hear on the radio. Our world is filled with evil, and part of that evil is the music that we listen to. And again, you can't avoid it. It's everywhere. Even if you have a nice country radio station that you enjoy listening to, one song might be great, the next one, you got to turn it. Even the artists that we like, James Taylor, he's got some things that aren't appropriate. Most of his music is okay. It's got a decent message to it, but not all of it. We got to be able to discern that based on the principles that we read from the Bible. See, music does have the ability to either bring us up or bring us down, depending on the themes and the type of music that we have. We sing another hymn that says, "Wait and hope and look for God." Wait and hope and look for God. That comes from Psalm 37:8. Psalm 37:8 says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath." This is a good one. "Do not fret." Do not fret. It only causes harm. We definitely fret over things that we really don't need to. But how do we cease from anger and forsake wrath and not fret? Could be through the music. Could be through the music. Now, obviously, prayer and Bible study and all those other things are other ways. Just the focus of this message just is music. Just different ways to use music. So listening to the right type of music can allow us to change our mood. It can shift our negative feelings of anger and rage to feelings of joy and happiness. God wants us to experience joy. Actually, He does more than want, doesn't He? He commands us to be joyful. You don't need to turn there because I know you know this scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, what does it say? Be joyful. Not some of the time. Not when you feel like it. Not when it's convenient. It says, be joyful always. Now, that's not always easy, but that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be joyful always. Now, unfortunately, we have many, many people in this world that they don't experience joy. We have a lot of people, they just don't have joy. It's unfortunate. We need to be very thankful that every time we come here that we can be joyful. Like I said, even if you're having a bad day when you come in, you start to sing, you become joyful. You look at the people around you that have smiles on their face because of the music that we're singing, the fellowship that we're having. You do become joyful. You become joyful. See, music can support our faith. We heard about faith earlier. Music can help support that faith by helping to comfort us and reassure us during times of trial. Acts 16, verse 22. In Acts 16, 22, it talks about a trial that Paul and Silas were experiencing. And in the midst of that trial, if you remember the story, they started singing and they started praying. So let's turn to Acts 16, verse 22. And we'll read some of this account. It says, "The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into a prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks." Sound like a pleasant experience? Definitely a trial, right? Definitely not a trial that I want to go through. Certainly could ruin your day. Maybe give you a negative attitude. Maybe cause some depression, maybe fear or anxiety. In verse 25, what did they do? "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God." Praying and singing hymns to God. "And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped." In verse 28, Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and added, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" In verse 31, they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all of the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into the house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Brethren, this is just one account in the Bible that demonstrates the power of song and prayer. Now, did singing that hymn cause this entire family to come to God? No, God certainly had other hands in that to make that happen. But it does show that's pretty tough situation for them. What did they do? They turned to song and they turned to prayer. So this account definitely does demonstrate that power. See, they could have been anxious, they could have been angry and depressed, but they turned to God for comfort through song and prayer. We know that many people experience trials in life. In fact, those trials are one way in which God teaches us. We learn through trials. How we handle the trial and our attitude while going through that trial oftentimes may determine whether or not we have a positive outcome or a negative outcome to that trial. The trial experienced by Paul and Silas led to joy, not only for them, but for the entire family of the jailer. The jailer became to believe in God. Now, was he inspired by the music? Maybe. Doesn't necessarily specifically say about that. But definitely the prayer and song played a part in the joy that both Paul and Silas experienced, as well as the jailer. We know that Matthew explained to us that we are to be that light to the world. Sometimes our reaction to trials and difficult situations turn out to be a learning experience for those watching. Paul and Silas were an example to the jailer. They both used music and prayer to make this bad situation just a little bit better. Brethren, throughout human history, music has been used to make bad situations better. The slaves in our country, pretty horrible situation to be placed in. They were constantly singing. That's what got them through. I think Mr. Lambert's going to give a sermon at some point on Amazing Grace, that song. That was a song that, I won't share too much because I don't want to steal his sermon, but that song brought joy to the boat captain after he realized how much pain he has caused bringing the slaves over. But the slaves, as Jackson's reading Harriet Tubman now. He just finished, right? Yeah, just finished it. So he's reading that book, and part of the slave culture was singing those hymns. Why? Because bad situation. It helped make their life just a little bit better. In Psalm 23:2, this is the inspiration for another hymn in our book, The Lord's My Shepherd. Psalm 23:2. He said, "He leads me beside still waters." This hymn talks about God being our shepherd. He leads us from darkness, out of this world perhaps, the darkness of this world, to green pastures and still waters. God removes our fears and He comforts us. I said before that our country is filled with depression and anxiety and fear. And I have several kids out of school now. They've been out for months because of school anxiety. Just can't function. They cannot get out of their house to physically come to school. This is a problem in our country and around the world. One of the studies that I looked at says anxiety disorders are the most common mental health illness in the United States, affecting 40 million adults. 40 million people. And these are only the people that have sought treatment that account into this number. 18% of our population of 18-year-olds and older, is what they say, are suffering from some form of anxiety. Anxiety costs the United States $42 billion a year. $42 billion a year for anxiety. More than $22 billion of that are the costs associated with repeated use of the healthcare services. Anxiety, depression, all those things not lead to physical manifestations too, not just mental concerns. People with anxiety disorder are 3 to 5 times more likely to go to the doctor. They're 6 times more likely to be hospitalized for psychiatric disorders. Anxiety disorders develop from a couple of set of risk factors, including some of its genetics, some of its brain chemistry, some of it's just their personality. A lot of it is the environment in which they live. James Taylor, when his mom and dad split up, that threw him for a loop. Sent him to the psych center for as long as the college fund would last. Again, life events. Generalized anxiety disorders, it says, affect 6.8 million adults in the United States. Women are twice as likely. Panic disorders. I have a student now that has a panic disorder. They walk into the building, they break down. If they are acting, they are a very good actor. There is something truly wrong with this student. Again, this is, I'm just one school in the country, one facet of society. And we see it. It's growing. It's getting bigger and bigger. Phobias. They talk a little bit about phobias. 19 million people have specific phobias. Some of them are snakes, like Mr. Kester and me. I don't care for snakes either. But one of the other phobias is agoraphobia. People physically cannot come out of their house. Fears, anxiety. Part of that is the news. Not a lot of good news on anymore. Shootings here and shootings there. All leads to anxiety, depression, and fear. These statistics, and I have several pages of them that I don't have time to go over, but they were just taken from the first two pages of a website published by the Anxiety and Depression Association of America. There's a whole association to deal with some of these things that we see in our country. So not only does music play an important role in our church services, it can also play a role in bringing peace and comfort to others in these hectic lives that we have. It's very difficult to be sad and depressed or angry when you're listening to peaceful music. It's difficult. Exodus 15, verse 1. Exodus 15, verse 1. Here Moses is singing to the children of Israel. Exodus 15, 1, it says, "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The Lord is my strength and song. He is my God, and I will praise him." Brethren, we do know that God is our source of strength, and we need to turn to him when we face difficulties and when we face trials. During a crisis or traumatic event, it may sometimes be difficult to recall the scriptures that we need to recall. It's much easier to recall the songs. All the hymns in our hymnal are based on the Bible. They come directly from scripture. So when we're having that difficult time in life and we don't have our Bible with us, we have the hymns in our mind. They're much easier to remember than quoting specific scriptures from the Bible. Music can play a part in teaching and preaching the gospel as well, as we saw up there in Exodus 15, where Moses and the children were singing to the Lord. In Colossians 3:16, as we begin to wrap up this morning or this afternoon, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So in Colossians 3:16, it tells us that music can be a source of instruction. So again, if you don't have the Bible right with you, but you have the hymns in the back of your mind, there's a lot to be learned from the songs in our hymnal. In Psalm 40, verse 3. Psalm 40, verse 3. It shows that musical expressions of our faith can inspire others. Psalm 43, it says, "He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." Music also has a part in our fellowship. Ephesians 5:18. It says, "Be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." So music can be part of our spiritual conversations. It can be comforting. It can be encouraging. We can motivate others. Even when the exact scripture and verse does not come to mind, the overall concept of the hymn may. And again, it's all biblical. Few things can bring to mind God's teaching more than an inspiring song. So, brother, music is an important part of our church service. But music serves a much broader purpose than simply providing us a way to give thanks and to praise God. God gave us music for worship. We do that each week. He gave us music for healing. He gave us music for teaching. He gave us music for preaching. And He gave us music as a source of inspiration, as encouragement, and as strength. So as we close the sermon, you don't need to turn in your Bibles. I'll get you ready for Mr. Williams. Take your hymnal out. So you can skip that part when you come up, Mr. Williams. You won't have to tell them to take their hymnals. We're going to do it now. So rather than turning to our Bibles for the last scripture, turn to the inside cover of your hymnal. And I'll close in Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. It says, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another." How? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.